Who found the Leadership Lowdown. This is Vic Verstero here on the Michigan Business Network. So glad that you joined us today, and I appreciate taking time from our guest today from his busy schedule, because he runs a lot of operations and a lot of things going pretty crazy all the time, and we're proud to have with us Ben LaCrosse. Ben, welcome to our humble show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, and Ben, you are in a family partnership with Glenn and Judy LaCrosse, your parents, up in the Leelanau Peninsula. Was that accurate or not?
That's correct. Yeah. We grow cherries throughout the Leelanau Peninsula. We process cherries in Sutton's Bay, and we couldn't be more proud to come to you from the cherry capital of the world.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's been a lot of cherries that have been planted around the country. I think Utah has really taken off over the last several years, but you still own that title as the cherry capital, right?
Absolutely. Our airport's named Cherry Capital. Our rural electric cooperative is named Cherryland, and we do grow the most cherries right up here in the Traverse City region.
Well, I love it. And I really appreciate your time. Although cherry harvest has been over for a while, this fall time is a busy time for you, as everybody knows, trying to get things ready for the winter and get things all wrapped up for the year. Ben, it's been an honor and a privilege to get to know you over the years. I've literally watched your career kind of develop. And when you are born and raised on a family farm, you start early in the industry, don't you? What's your first recollection of the chores you had to do back on the family farm as a youngster?
Oh, man. Yeah, I remember, you know, riding my bike around our cherry receiving station when I was really young and my parents were working. And I mean, we had to do chores out in the barn. We had some animals and some horses before we could open our presents on Christmas morning. So, you know, growing up on a farm, you learn that a lot of things come before you do, and there's a lot of priorities in life that you have to take care of before you get on to some of the fun things. But I think that grit and that determination and that self-control really pays off in the long run for a lot of people like me.
Well, and that's why I love having you on the show today, because, you know, part of what we always talk about, and a lot of times we do this when we're looking for new hires, if we can find a young man or young woman that has had some form of agricultural farm kind of background, it turns our head a little bit, because first of all, it's kind of rare. We don't have a lot of roughly 2% of our nation's populations involved in agriculture, but as far as farming goes. But what's interesting to me is that we have young men and women that learn at an early age that cows don't give milk. You got to go take it, and those cherries don't come off the trees all by themselves and get into a supermarket without some kind of human intervention. So there's a lot that goes on, and a lot of great things and lessons that you've learned along the way. And you've been blessed to have Glenn and Judy as parents that helped you find your way into the business, right?
Yeah, for sure. My parents have been very progressive in terms of vertically integrating our businesses to include processing, trucking, logistics, and some other things that have helped us diversify our business and has really created a year-round business that's thriving up here. And especially in rural America and in agriculture, you have to find your niche, right?
Yeah,
a lot of people do that through agritourism. A lot of people do that through value added. And that's the route that we went, is through adding value to our cherries through processing. It's a wonderful way of life. Here.
Yeah, and you know, it's kind of interesting. I was thinking about you as a young kid riding your bike. You know, there's a few ton tractor and equipment and trucks rolling and everything else, especially during cherry harvest. I can only imagine, you know, the times they yelled at you to get out of the way, right? I mean, it's either that or you get a real flat Ben LaCrosse if you're not careful.
I was probably always in the way, and I remember one of the things that I used to like to do is hit a golf ball around our receiving station. And one time I hit one of the farmer's trucks with the golf ball. And, man, did I want to disappear quickly.
Well, and that may be your first leadership lesson, right? Did you have to saunter up and explain what happened?
take accountability. Yeah. Vic. You've got to take accountability for what you do and what your team does. And as a leader, sometimes you have to do that. So maybe that first lesson was learned by accidentally hitting a golf ball, or maybe the other lesson was practice more.
Yeah. Well, and of course, I'm sure the audience is trying to you know, if they could ask me questions and we were on live, we probably would ask the question. So how's your golf game today?
Oh man, it's probably worse than it was back when I was a kid.
Yeah, well, you got to work more, probably, right?
Oh, yeah, exactly, right.
Well, it's kind of interesting, and you know, in your world, I don't know anything about your future farm or FFA background or some of the other leadership moments. We're going to have a chance to kind of get to know a little bit more about you, Ben, and so glad you joined us today. You've got some interesting things that you're going to let us know about and some programs and activities that you're involved with. So, Ben, can't thank you enough for being with us here on the Michigan Business Network. This is the Leadership Lowdown. I'm Vic Verschuro, and we'll be right back.
Most of us aren't looking around for accidents waiting to happen. That would be sort of odd. But when you have Accident Fund Workers' Compensation Insurance, that's exactly what they are doing. Accident Fund employees are the WorkSafe people. They take your safety very seriously because that's all they do. Workers' Compensation Insurance. That's why they're rated A excellent by AM Best. Go to accidentfund.com/worksafe and get the WorkSafe people. Accident Fund is a wholly owned subsidiary of Accident Fund Holdings Incorporated, the 10th largest workers' compensation insurer in the United States.
Welcome back to Leadership Lowdown. This is the Michigan Business Network, and I'm Vic Verschuro. Today's special guest is Ben LaCrosse, and of course, he's part of the LaCrosse Farms way up in beautiful Leelanau Peninsula. And of course, what a beautiful area it is, and I can't imagine having the ability to walk out of your front door in the morning, look across your beautiful farm, and just go, wow, I get to live here. This is really cool. Pretty nice stuff, Ben.
It's spectacular.
Yeah.
Right now the fall colors are gorgeous, and it's a beautiful place to live.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Ben, you know, you grew up there, and you've got a lot of wonderful stories you're going to share with us today. But the story for you starts as a young man, really involved in the 4-H. Probably is that where some of your leadership kind of came down for you?
Yeah. My family was very involved with 4-H as I grew up, and 4-H in our area. Offered a lot of programs that gave me access to the beginnings of leadership training. And it starts with, you know, raising a lamb for the fair and showing sheep. And that taught me, you know, hard work and the ability of taking care of something before I took care of myself.
And so that
was a real important lesson. But 4-H also has a lot of other programs, leadership training programs. I remember a public speaking course that I took that really helped me kind of understand how to organize my thoughts as a younger person. And a lot of those lessons have really stuck with me, right? You know, how to reinforce the points that you want to make, how to captivate an audience and how to bring your message home. They also had a program called Natural Helpers, which identified young leaders at an early age in your school, people who were looked at as leaders by their peers, and really gave us some different techniques and skills and training that I think helped plant a leadership seed in my brain. I think I watched my parents. They were great role models for me, be leaders in our industry. And I knew that whatever I wanted to do in life or whatever I decided to do in life, leadership was something that I wanted to be a part of that.
Yeah.
And so 4-H was very, very transformative for me.
Well, and I think it's awesome because, you know, the 4-H really is all over the state. It's not just in rural counties. There's quite an extensive inner city program too in 4-H. So there's a lot of great things that are happening for young people and different kids around the state, no matter where they live. And of course, you know, part of what happens is as you're on the farm, you're starting out with 4-H, you're getting responsibility, and then you start getting to the age where you're now a young adult, and people start expecting more out of you. And at some point in time, you got involved in a program that the Michigan Farm Bureau has called Young Farmer Program. And tell us a little bit about your experience there.
Yeah, Michigan Farm Bureau is the state's largest general farm organization. And one of the fantastic things that they do and that they're really good at is building future leaders. And that all starts with their Young Farmer Program. And after college, I decided to make farming a career and the family business a career. And I came back and a friend of mine, an older young farmer at the time, but a person that I really respected, asked me to come to a couple young farmer meetings. And I remember the first young farmer meeting that I went to, we learned, Robert's Rules of Order, parliamentary procedure, some more of that speaking training. So, how to conduct a meeting. And my wife was with me at the time, and we drove home from that weekend meeting, and we just talked about how we were hooked into the program. Wow. We loved what that learning meant for us as young professionals. I always viewed it as my professional development as a farmer and an agricultural professional. It really melted a couple of my passions together. Well, several of my passions: agriculture, leadership, and the political side of agriculture and politics. And so that was really a place where I got my start in the professional world.
Yeah.
And it's been very rewarding.
You kind of got bit there a little bit and go, "Oh, I think I like this." So that's kind of neat. And part of what happened was that you then there's a kind of a bit of a leadership track for people that are in agriculture. And so you had a chance to jump on board and become a member of the State Young Farmer Committee for the Michigan Farm Bureau. And then you went on to a national committee position, right?
Yeah. So there's a State Young Farmer Committee that after a couple of years, I earned the opportunity to become chairperson of. And so I chaired that committee, and we led leadership trainings for young farmers from around the state, and really enjoyed that my time with that. And then I was able to, I guess, be promoted to the National Young Farmer and Rancher Committee, which is a great opportunity to meet other young ag professionals from around the country. And I had the opportunity to chair that program for a year. And so that gave me access to travel all over the country speaking on agricultural topics to young farmer groups, to business groups, a lot of trips to D.C., talking about young farmer priorities. And we were actually going through a farm bill process at that point. And Senator Debbie Stabenow was the chairperson of the Senate Ag Committee.
Yeah.
And so being in that position from Michigan and having the chair of the Senate Ag Committee person, I got to work really closely with the Senate while they were crafting that farm bill.
You got me smiling because I'm thinking about the 4-H from the humble 4-H speaking days to talking to thousands of people at major conventions all the way to talking to the halls of Congress. So it's so great that you're talking to us today, Ben. We're glad to have you here on the Michigan Business Network, and we're glad that you tuned in to the Leadership Lowdown. I'm Vic Verscher with Ben LaCrosse. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Chris Holman, and as past chair of the National Small Business Association and a small business owner myself, I understand when you run a business, you rely heavily on your computer network. Now, you cannot afford lost data, lost customer information, and that's why you should trust your technology needs to ASK. Contact ASK at 877-ASK4ASK for a free audit and analysis of your technology needs. That's 877-ASK4ASK. or find them on the internet at www.justask.net. ASK, taking the hassle out of technology so that you can run your business.
Thanks for tuning in to the Leadership Lowdown here on the Michigan Business Network. I'm Vic Versero with Ben LaCrosse. He and his parents, Glenn and Judy, are partners, really, in LaCrosse Farms way up in Leelanau, beautiful Leelanau Peninsula. And, Ben, I loved our conversation in the last segment because we were talking about some of your younger experiences. And I think it's just so powerful to be able to have organizations or industry organizations or associations that you can be involved with. And that might be my little plug right here to say, look, here is a farmer in beautiful but fairly remote Leelanau Peninsula that's getting involved in an organization that defends his industry. And as a result, he's found a path to help him get involved and to make a difference and to also personally build leadership skills. That's kind of a neat thing. And I would encourage other professionals that are tuning in to us today to make sure that they're looking around what other professional associations that they can get involved with that can make a difference and contribute to the industry. And I think you've had a lot of paydays when it comes to things you've taken away from your Farm Bureau experience, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and you hit the nail on the head, Vic. I've had these opportunities because other people helped put me in the position to make that difference. You know, I've been guided in my professional career by just some wonderful mentors who really took me under their wing and taught me valuable lessons that the world is run by those who show up, right? Mm. So if we all like to just stay in our own silos. It's comfortable staying in our own lanes a lot of times. But if we really want to see good things happen, we have to sometimes be the people who affect the change. And so I was able to be guided by some mentors who really had a deep impact on my life.
You know, and that's really is pretty powerful. And you know, if you want to call them out by name, that's fine with us. But tell me about the things, the takeaways, because I truly believe that mentoring is one of the most important key elements. And what's fascinating to me, I've been around a lot of salespeople in my career, and a lot of times I have some of the most prideful ones say, "I did it all by myself." And others said, "You know, I failed because nobody helped me." Well, somewhere in between that whole mix is people succeed because people that have come alongside them and made a difference. And I believe we're never, ever alone. There's always great mentors that are showing us the way and people that are going, "I'll never be like that. If I get my opportunity, that's not what I want to be." And so either way, we're learning from those. Do you have some specific takeaways when you talk about mentorship? What are some of the pearls that you've been given along the way?
Yeah, well, I will take the opportunity to mention a few people by name. Wayne Wood is a former president of Michigan Farm Bureau.
Sure.
And I was coming up through their Young Farmer program, Wayne really took me under his wing and really helped me understand the inside baseball of organizational dynamics. Wayne was wonderful at sharing tidbits of his wisdom as I was coming through, but also putting younger people in a position to where they can have leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just something that for me is, you know, I'm transitioning away from being the younger person in organizations that I'm involved in to being, you know, I'm in my early 40s. So there's some younger people coming up behind me. So now I'm looking at it is it's incumbent upon me to help guide some of those people and also, you know, give them some opportunities to shine as well.
Yeah, and interesting that you mentioned Wayne Wood because he was, of course, the president for the Farm Bureau for a number of years. But I also happen to know that Wayne Wood was on the board of directors for a number of years, and there was a gentleman by the name of Elton Smith who was an iconic president for the organization in some very formidable years. And I got to believe if Wayne was listening in today, he would say that Elton Smith would be one of his mentors as well. So, you know, it's kind of keeping on paying it forward. And as things move on, you know, it's kind of an interesting path we create. I don't want to call any names out on this one, but Ben, when I say there's mentors that you look at and go, oof, that's not what I want to do. We see that. Do you disagree with that? I mean, have you in your career, have you looked in that and go, ooh, I don't want to be like that?
I certainly have. Yeah. There's been a lot of times where I've observed other leaders operating in situations where I've noted that's not the direction that I want to be, or that's not the kind of leader that I want to be.
And so,
I mean, mentorship can kind of go in both ways, right? Especially if you're an astute student, and I'd encourage everyone to be a student of human behavior. You can see what's effective and what certain types of leadership are effective, and then what other types of leadership are maybe a little bit more toxic.
Yeah, well, and what's interesting to me is I think you've done a little bit with what you've learned, because we're going to talk in our next segment about something pretty special that I think is really cool that you've launched, a little program, and we're going to hear all about it here in our next segment on the Leadership Lowdown. We're so glad you tuned into the Michigan Business Network. This is Vic Verscher with Ben LaCrosse. We'll be right back.
The Lansing Board of Water and Light is working on a cleaner energy future. A plan proposed by a citizens' committee and the BWL will replace the coal-fired Eckert plant with power from wind turbines, solar panels, energy-saving technologies, and cleaner natural gas that improve our air quality and environmental health. Learn more about the BWL's plan to become Michigan's cleanest electric utility at LansingEnergyTomorrow.com. The Lansing Board of Water and Light. Hometown people. Hometown power.
You found the Leadership Lowdown here on the Michigan Business Network. I'm Vic Verscherl with Ben LaCrosse, and Ben, of course, is partners with his mom and dad, Glenn and Judy LaCrosse, up there in beautiful Leelanau Peninsula of our amazing state here of Michigan. And so, Ben, in our last segment, I mentioned that we've got a lot of takeaways. Mentors have taught us different things along the way. And, of course, you know, what do we do with that, I think, is always the question I have. And it feels like I don't want to use the word cashing in is not right, but you've invested what you've learned in amazing ways to help you become a well-known leader throughout Michigan in the agriculture industry. You've done some great things with your family farm. You and your parents and your partners there have helped develop some great things, but you didn't stop there. There's something else that I've been teasing the audience about, and I think I'm really excited to hear more about it. You've got a little project there, and I'd like you to tell us about it if you would right now.
Yeah, so going back about 2 years ago, in the fall of 2018, we were going through an election for governor in the state of Michigan. And my oldest son at the time, was 11 years old. And he asked me some really astute questions for an 11-year-old about politics and elections. What does the governor do? How do elections work? When can people vote? And I thought, you know, there's got to be a fun, engaging book or resource that helps kids his age, early middle school or upper elementary, understand politics and elections, but that would also explain some of the worldview and some of the values that I want to share with him. And so I searched high and low for a book like that, and there was just nothing out there on the market. There's plenty of children's books that talk about politics and elections, picture books and those kind of things, but nothing for that intermediate reader, that early, you know, chapter type book for kids. And so I had this idea in my head, and I guess like any good farmer, I just woke up earlier and got it done. So
right.
For about a month in the fall of 2018, I woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and I wrote for a couple hours each day, and it's turned into a book that I'm really excited to share with you. It's called Tucker for President.
How about that? Well, tell me about Tucker for President. Is he running for national office, or is he going for high school head of his class?
Yep. So Tucker's a new sixth grader in a new school. Tucker goes to Ben Franklin Middle School, home of the Fighting Founding Fathers. And on Tucker's first day at his new school, he runs into a challenging personality in his classroom, a classmate who gives him a hard time.
Yeah.
Well, Tucker finds out that this classmate, whose name is Grayson, is the class president, and he promises his class all these amazing things: free pizza, more recess, and candy. But he never delivers on any of those promises. So Tucker's friends see leadership qualities in him. They encourage him to run for class president, and so Tucker does. And while Tucker is going through that class presidency campaign, in Tucker's real world, the U.S. presidential election is going on at the same time. So Tucker learns values about U.S. presidential politics and elections. He learns lessons about our founding fathers, respect for the flag and our military, what taxes mean, what personal responsibility means. But there's an underarching theme also of how to be kind to your opponent. So it's a hero's journey story that follows Tucker through this. But ultimately, Tucker learns the lesson, and Tucker really exhibits kindness to his opponent.
You know, and it's interesting. I don't know where they're from. I probably shouldn't mention if I don't know the answer. But around town, I've seen yard signs that says "Be kind," and I'm thinking, man, that you wouldn't think you'd have to say that, but that kind of is an interesting tenet and character issue to talk about in these amazing times. Well, so at this point in time, you write the book. And did you have a chance to share it with your son?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. So he read it very early on. And,
yeah.
And you know, after I finished it, my wife really helped me edit it. She's an English teacher, and she really, really improved it a lot.
Yeah.
Let me tell you.
I mean, that's what wives do, right?
absolutely. And my kids had an opportunity to help me edit it because, you know, I wrote it as a 42-year-old or a 40-year-old back then, remembering the lingo of a middle schooler when I was going through middle school, you know. So I wrote things like, that's cool and that's awesome.
Yeah.
And my son said, no, Dad, you got to put that's insane and stuff like that. So they really hipped it up and made it more relatable to kids. And that's what I wanted it to be. I wanted it to be funny and relatable to them, but also learned a lesson. So there's a YouTube controversy in the campaign.
The kids have to
navigate the first sixth grade dance that they go through together.
Well, don't give it all away. We're going to unpack more of that in the next segment. We're just so thrilled to have you share this very timely discussion with us here in the middle of ripped right out from the headlines of today. So, Ben, we're so glad you're here with us on the Michigan Business Network. We're glad you tuned in to the Leadership Lowdown. I'm Vic Verschuro. We're going to pay some bills and come right back.
Sanair has an unwavering belief that all people deserve the opportunities provided by living in healthy communities. They've lived that mission for more than 25 years. Through lending, investments, and the creation of homes and jobs, Sanair has made a combined $7 billion impact on the communities they serve. You don't make that kind of broad impact without a skilled, diverse, and highly valued team. That's one of the reasons Sanair has been consistently named a top place to work by Detroit Free Press, a Crain's Detroit Cool Places to Work, and a best nonprofit to work for. Learn more at www.sanair.com.
You found the Leadership Lowdown here on the Michigan Business Network. I'm Vic Versaro with the amazing Ben LaCrosse. He is doing a great job in northern Michigan as an industry leader and as a partner in his family farm. And he also has turned into an author for us, and I'm loving the story about Tucker for President. And in the last segment before we ran out of time, Ben, you said there was a, was it a YouTube or social media conflict that came up in the campaign? You want to tell us about that?
Yeah, for sure. And it really is timely because now anytime you turn on YouTube, the advertisement that comes up before it is a campaign advertisement for somebody right now. Even on my kids' channels that they watch, you know, so they're getting it. So in the book, Tucker is running for class president against Grayson, and Grayson comes from a very wealthy family. And so that family decides to produce a YouTube commercial that will play in front of Tucker and all of his friends' favorite YouTube channel. So before the kids get out and watch their favorite show, which is called Filthy Pie Face, they see an advertisement for Grayson for class president. And that really frustrates Tucker because he doesn't think that it's fair that somebody can just use their family's wealth to influence the election. But Tucker has a wonderful mentor teacher in his classroom named Mrs. Quackenbush, who talks to Tucker about freedom of speech, freedom of expression, how money does influence politics. You know, it is a factor. And so some of these things are pretty high concept issues to tell them down. But when you put them into a format that kids can relate to, right, YouTube, money, freedom of speech, it becomes more bite-sized and easier for them to digest
understand. Absolutely. Well, and so in of course the motivation started out to try to address some of the questions that your inquisitive 11-year-old had. Did it morph into anything bigger? Have you seen maybe greater issues or challenges? Does it mean that we're going to have a library of Tucker's experiences?
Well, it does make me think that this might be an avenue to help kids understand some of the challenging issues that they're dealing with in school. And certainly, you know, Tucker for President is a short chapter book, and I couldn't discuss everything in them. But I also want to help raise my kids with the idea of civic literacy, you know, they can get into high school, become voters, but also know how to distill through what we see on some of the advertisements as being true and what isn't true. And so I do think that there probably is another couple Tucker books in me to talk about more experiences like that.
Well, I like what you just said there, which I think if we could back up to a little broader issue, you know, I really don't care. I don't know if I can say that straight-faced or not, but I'm less concerned about how somebody votes and who they vote for, and more concerned about whether or not they have convictions and purpose in terms of why they're voting. I get so frustrated when somebody says, "Well, I don't like this," or "What don't like that," and "Well, tell me about that," and it becomes a dissertation about what somebody says versus what somebody does. And I'm not trying to be political at all. I'm just saying that when I hear people talk about some of the most destructive people in America are people that have been really good at talking, and that what's just concerning to me is that I'm looking for people that are principled and that have character issues and that have the right things going on. And I got to believe some of that came out in this Tucker for President book, right? Is it's not just about saying pretty things that everybody wants to hear, but doing things that are valuable and meaningful and you can commit to. Is that kind of what organically came out?
Absolutely. One of the things that Tucker learns is, and one of the things that I think is wonderful about our country is that we have a system that was built by our founding fathers and our leaders that no matter who's in power, whether it's the president of your choice, whether it's the governor of your choice, in a couple of years, there's going to be another election.
Mm-hmm.
And our democracy is balanced by that pendulum that swings a little bit back and forth to either side. And that's the one thing that frustrates me about the political discourse right now is that so many people talk about, well, if person X wins, then this is all going to, you know, it's going to be catastrophic. Or if the other side wins, it's going to be the end of this, that, or the other thing.
Yeah.
And my position is, no, it isn't. We might swing the political pendulum one way or the other, but the wonderful thing that we have and the lesson that Tucker learns is the world is run by those who show up. And so if you don't like the way politics is going in your local community or in your country or in your state, you can get involved. You can run for office yourself. You can help get the candidate who you think would do a better job elected the next time.
Mm.
And there will be a next time. And at the end of the day, we're all Americans. Right. The phrase is overused right now. We're all in this together, but we really are. We should be looking forward to taking that one incremental step forward to making our country better this year, the next year, or the next election cycle, instead of tearing each other apart.
Amen. Wow. Ben LaCrosse for president. No, sorry about that. I wasn't paying attention here. Hey, Ben, thanks so much. It's really a great talking to you. So glad you took time out from your busy schedule to be here on the Michigan Business Network. This is the Leadership Lowdown with Vic Verschuro and Ben LaCrosse. We're going to be right back for our final segment.
Do you like to travel for fun and excitement, craving a relaxing getaway? No matter where you want to go or what you want to do, you can trust Dean Trailways to get you there. Our luxury motor coach lets you relax while you travel. No traffic to worry about, no parking fees, no hassle. Are you looking for some sizzling excitement this fall? Let Dean Trailways bring on the heat and take you to Firekeepers, Michigan's newest gaming hotspot. Experience the thrills of the slots, blackjack, craps, the live poker room, and indulge in the world-class restaurants, all while counting on Dean to bring you home safely. Dean Trailways of Michigan. Travel smart.
Thanks for tuning in to the Michigan Business Network. Here on the Leadership Lowdown, we have with us today Ben LaCrosse, and he is, of course, part of a family farm partnership up in beautiful Leelanau Peninsula. And so, Ben, we just got our final segment. Before I run out of time, I want to make sure people are sitting here going, where do I buy the book, for crying out loud? So help us with that. It's called Tucker for President, and author is Ben LaCrosse. And so tell me, how are they going to get their hands on this thing?
Yeah, so Amazon is probably the easiest place for people to go, and they can just go on Amazon and search Tucker for President, or they can go to my website, which is benlacrossebooks.com. And interestingly enough, Vic, on Amazon, you know, there's an ocean of books.
Yeah.
There's 8 million books on Amazon right now. But currently Tucker is in the top 6,000 books being sold on Amazon.
Wow.
Which that might not sound significant, but to an author, a self-published author, that's huge.
And am I right? This is your first book, right, Ben?
This is my first book.
Well, yeah. You're debuting pretty strong there. I think that's pretty cool. And, you know, one of the other things, Bert, for anybody that's thinking about buying this book, what does it cost anyways?
It's $12.95,
yeah.
You know, free shipping.
Yeah.
It makes a great Christmas gift. Kids love it. Adults love it. An Amazon reviewer called it the birds and the bees of politics.
So it's a fun little book. That's awesome. You know, and I have to say this. One of the things I think that makes these kind of books really professional, meaningful, is the illustration. And I didn't get a chance to ask you this, so I really don't know the answer to it. Who did the illustration on this? Because it's really quite stunning.
It really is, yeah. I used the custom contract illustrator through my publishing house, Jenkins Group, here out of Traverse City,
mm.
And they just did a wonderful job. You know, you always think if you're going to write a book, well, I want, you know, Penguin or Random House to do it.
Yeah.
But obviously, I didn't have the cachet to go through a huge publishing house, but. This book is as professional as any other book that's out there,
and
the illustrator did an incredible job.
Yeah, I would definitely absolutely agree with that, Ben. I think you're exactly right, and having it that professional, that beautiful, it draws the kids in that are reading it, and of course, it also gets us all a chance to appreciate that this is telling an important story. And really, you know, if you had to draw maybe the biggest conclusion from this, what in your mind, what was the most satisfying thing that happened by answering your 11-year-old son's questions about this?
Well, I hope the most satisfying thing is that I can raise my kids with a sense of leadership and service to others. And I think this book is part of that. Hopefully it's a legacy that they can look back on and be proud of me. And so that's also why I decided to try to get this out into the public, to share mm-hmm. that message of leadership, service to others, kindness. Tucker's family in the book has a saying that they use that they tell their kids every day before they go to school. In fact, it's a saying that me and my wife have told to our kids every day before they go to school is be a learner, a listener, and a leader. Right. And we use that phrase to try to put them in a mindset of going to school and being the best student that they could possibly be by being a learner, a listener, and a leader. And ultimately, I hope that's what people take away from the book. And it's just the thing that I wanted to share with people.
Yeah, well, and it's really quite impressive. And I got to ask you, I'm sure your kids are proud of you, but tell me what Glenn and Judy think of you.
Oh, they're really proud. It's been fun to see them. You know, I mean, this is anytime a farmer tells his family that they've wrote a book and that they're going to publish it, sometimes people kind of look at you with a side eye. But after my family and my friends read it, you know, they realized that it was something that was worthwhile to put out there. It's a message that hasn't been conveyed, especially to the young adult space in literature. And, I'm just very proud of it.
Yeah. Well, and you should be, you know, and I love the commitment to the cornerstone and principles of what you're advocating here. What's interesting to me is that, you know, I've literally had the privilege of watching your career as a young man, you know, coming in through the Young Farmer Program at Farm Bureau, being on the state committee, chairing that, being visible at that state organization's annual meetings, and then, of course, seeing your success on the national level in front of truly thousands and thousands of people. You've been in the halls of Congress doing an awful lot of different things, and I got to believe somewhere along the way there's probably a 4-H leader that's going, you know, I had a role in that. I kind of helped a little bit.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I think of those people often.
Yeah.
You know, those people that opened up their home on a weekday night to teach us lessons about livestock or leadership or public speaking, and I couldn't, you know, I couldn't do it without the lessons that they taught me.
Well, and here's to the people around that are listening all over the state of Michigan and around the country that are pouring into young people, helping them figure out a path, helping them figure out right from wrong, and teaching them the ways of what it means to live in a democracy. You're exactly right. This democracy is owned by those that show up, and all of us have to accept those consequences. So encouraging people to show up and take their heartfelt beliefs and apply them to the institutions and to our freedoms is surely a great, great plan. Ben LaCrosse, you are a gem, and we can't thank you enough for sharing your story and for helping us today. Thanks for being a guest.
Hey, thanks for having me, Vic.
Well, and thanks for tuning in to the Michigan Business Network. This is the Leadership Lowdown. We look forward to talking to you next time. Michigan.